Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, we have a special guest in the studio to tell us about a program that's been going on in El Paso for now, I guess, over 2 decades. And it's one that I think a lot of kids in El Paso may be familiar with from attending in past years. And that's the Kids and Cows and More program. And joining us here in the studio is the director of that program, Sandra Pierce. Welcome to Good to Grow.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, a lot of us who've grown up here in El Paso, we know that there's a lot of agricultural history in El Paso. You know, if you drive up to the valley, you drive up to cotton fields and you drive past pecan trees. And, you know, we see a lot of those farms are starting to be sold to developers. But we do know that there are agricultural roots in the city. And I'm curious as to what your background is, if you grew up here in the region and what interested you maybe in this whole agricultural background.
Well, actually, I didn't grow up here. I grew up in Deming, New Mexico, but I moved here when I was about 13 years old. Yeah, so I feel like I'm a native of El Paso. I actually went to work in agriculture in 1993, and since then, I have just realized how important it is in each of our lives, no matter where you live, and how important agriculture is to everybody, agribusiness, the jobs that are out there for agriculture, and just everything, and just how important it is for the children to know where their food and their fiber comes from.
And I think that's getting more and more rare. I mean, there are still high schools out there that have FFA programs. But I think because we're getting to, I guess, a more technological-driven, industrial-driven type of society, kids and young adults are sort of losing touch with those agricultural roots. And I think that's part of the reason that the Kids and Cows and More program is still being offered to kids, just to remind them that there is an important base of agriculture here in the region that they really need to connect with.
That is so correct. They just need to know, because most kids just think that they go and they get their food at the grocery store. If you ask them, where does your milk come from? They say Walmart, in a carton, Albertsons, wherever. And if you ask them, where did you get your jeans from? Oh, I got them at the mall. So they really have no idea where they get their food and their clothing from.
And I think a lot of us who've traveled up to even just as close here as to Las Cruces, you know, we drive by those dairy farms. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of us know that there is at least some dairy here in the region. But, you know, what are some of the crops here in the region that I guess are more familiar to El Pasoans that maybe won't be found in other agriculture areas in our region?
Well, we at Kids and Cows and More, we really touch on the pecans and the cotton because they're grown in the valley. But, of course, we also have all kinds of vegetables, chili and onions. And the growers really grow a lot. I wish everybody would just take a drive down through the valley at any time, especially in the spring, and see everything that's being planted and that is coming up. And they would see what an area that we live in, how much agriculture there really is.
And I think one thing about this is that we tend to think about agriculture as being very traditional, large row crops, large orchards of pecan trees. And really, there's a really big movement going on nationally on a local food movement where people are beginning to be interested again in growing their own food. And how are we going to do this? How are we going to be healthy? And I think this program really touches on these very trendy, very relevant trends that we're seeing in the country. And what really is important about that is that it drives it home. These are things that are being grown in our backyard, out in our valley. Yes, the drive is a little bit further than maybe when we were kids to get to these ag areas, but they still are there and they're still important on so many different levels. So I think this is a great program for all youngsters to be able to come in and take a look at that. And it's very, very interactive with a lot of different speakers that present at these things. These are folks that make their living off. They're growers, they're livestock producers, they're extension volunteers that are giving these programs. So I think it's really important to kind of look at this overall encompassing way of taking this extension education out to the community.
And so what is your sort of target audience in these Kids and Cows and More program? Who are the kids specifically that you're trying to target?
The 2nd through 5th graders. Usually what we do is we have the classes come as a class field trip. And so they book ahead of time and they come on out. And it's usually the 2nd through 5th graders. We have a lot of core curriculum that just goes right hand in hand with the STAR test. So it's a very educational field trip, and yet it's fun. Like Denise said, it's very interactive. We have the master gardeners out there, and they're teaching about bees, and they're teaching about vegetables. We have a talking pecan tree. Just we have all kinds of neat things going on. We have livestock, so they get to see the live animals, which many kids don't get to see that anymore. We have the mobile dairy classroom, which Southwest Dairy brings out. They're one of our main sponsors, and so they get to see the cow actually being milked. They learn all of the importances about the food, the nutritional value. It's not just, oh, well, we're going to go out and see agriculture. You know, agriculture is so much more than we really realize.
Is there a lot of hands-on activities for kids? I mean, do kids actually touch a cow and maybe even try to milk it?
No, they don't get to milk the cow. Unfortunately, with insurance purposes and liabilities the way they are, we can't let everybody milk the cow. We also see only 1,000 kids each day, which sounds like a lot, but the spots do fill up. We can't have all 1,000 kids milking a cow. But we do have the livestock, and it is hands-on. We have other things that are hands-on as well. And like I said, they get to take so much stuff back to their classrooms that they can work on and actually do the projects in their classrooms. We give them all the things they need.
So do you have a lot of kids who maybe the younger ones, maybe the ones in second grade, who go to these Kids and Cows and More programs and they see the cows, but they haven't really made the connection that, oh, that cow is where my meat comes from. And then they might, you know, get a little bit wary. Have you ever come across that reaction?
Yes, of course that does happen. But the way we teach them is in a very educational way that they usually leave there with a very positive attitude. And all of the curriculum they get, it's very positive.
Well, this Kids and Cows and More program, I understand that it started right here in El Paso. And
correct.
Then it's grown out from there.
It started here 20 years ago. This is our 21st year, believe it or not. It was in 1993 that it started right over here at the Coliseum, and it was during the fair. And it has just grown and grown that now we have our own spot. We see 5,000 kids a week here in El Paso. And we also have, like I said, 53 programs throughout Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Texas.
So I'm assuming that maybe the kids who attend these Kids and Cows and More programs, that if you are more in a rural area, that they probably have a bit more knowledge and a bit more connection. And so how difficult is it for you to maybe to reach out to the city kids, like those of growing up like in downtown El Paso?
Actually, it's funny you should say that. We find that the rural kids don't know any more about agriculture than the urban kids. And it really is funny, but it's true. In agriculture today, we have gotten so that everything is so industrialized that the kids don't really work on the farms anymore the way they used to. They don't go out there and help their parents. And so even if they are a pecan grower or a cotton grower or a chili grower, they may know a little bit something about what their parents do, but they don't know overall agriculture. We do have an excellent 4-H program, so many kids do raise animals or they do grow crops. But on the most part, we find that we teach the rural kids just as much as we do the urban kids.
So do you hope then that bringing all this overall awareness of agriculture, how do you kind of see that translating? What kind of seed do you want to plant when those kids leave for that day with them? What do you really want them to take with them?
We do, like I said, a pre and post test, and I tell all of my speakers, they get these kids for about 20 minutes, but if they can leave each presentation with 2 items of knowledge, I think we've done our job. It's important for these kids because they're going to grow up and they are our future. They are the ones that are going to run this country someday. They're the ones who's going to decide how much water the farmers need. They're the ones who are going to be able to make all those decisions. And if they have no idea how important agriculture is in their lives, it's easy for them just to say, hey, let's wipe it out. Let's put in housing. Let's put in industry. And not realize that what they're actually doing is taking the food right out of their mouth and the clothes right off of their backs. Because it is important. We don't have that many people that work in agriculture considering how many people we have in our nation. It's just amazing how few people actually feed and clothe all of us. It's also amazing how some people think of agriculture as just the farmer out there in the overalls on a tractor, and that's not the case. We have growers that, of course, are out there on their tractors, but we also have people that sit in high-rise buildings that make the decisions for us. You know, how much are our food prices going to be? How much is our clothing going to cost us? And so it's important. Agriculture is just probably the most important thing in our lives because it is. It's the clothes we wear. It's the food we eat, but it's also the houses over our heads. It's the water that we drink. Agriculture is just every aspect of our life.
So have you noticed maybe some difficulty in keeping this program going? As I was mentioning at the beginning of the show, there's a lot of commercial developers that are buying out farmland. So how is that maybe affecting your program directly or indirectly?
actually, it makes our program more important. It makes me say, you know what? We need to get the kids there. We need them to realize how important agriculture is. Because a lot of times it is just the bottom dollar when we get to be adults and we get to be in business. It's like, what can I make? Oh, you know, I can make some money on this. But the kids need to realize their food needs to be grown. Their clothing needs to be grown on the most part because almost everything has cotton in it. If you think about it, when I teach cotton, I ask them, you know, did you wake up this morning on sheets? Did you take a bath and use a towel? You know, those jeans that you have on, that T-shirt that you have on, even the sneakers that you wear, almost everything has cotton in it. Even a lot of our food has cotton in it. How important is cotton in your life? You don't realize it until you really start looking at labels. And so it's important for us to make the kids realize that and to make the adults realize that. The only way the adults are going to realize it is if the kids tell them.
So what's on this test? If I were one of these kids and I was giving one of these pre and post tests, what's one of the questions that I would be asked on my way out?
You want to know the funniest question that we ask, and it's a cotton question. We say, a cotton comes from A, it's multiple choice, A, a plant. B, a rabbit. C, a lamb or a sheep, okay? And you would say what?
A plant.
You would say a plant. Do you know that probably about 70% of those kids are going to say it comes actually from a sheep?
Oh.
Yeah. Wool and cotton feel so close together. To you and me, they may not. But to a kid, they're thinking soft, right? And you'd be surprised how many people actually put a rabbit because they think cotton tail rabbit.
Tail. Oh,
but it's amazing that in the pretest, really about 70% of the kids fail that question. And it seems so easy to us, but it isn't for them. But when they leave, we find that over 90% actually know, of course, that it does come from a plant. That's just one of the simple ones. You know, we ask different questions. Milk is made in the cow's stomach, in the cow's brain, in the cow's udder. You know, where is it made? It's made in the cow's udder, of course. But, you know, things that we think are simple questions, maybe you'd be surprised how many of the teachers can't pass the test either. So I say that, but we do, and they don't have to put their names on it. I always give the test, you know, when I go down and I pre and post test, I always hand the test out to the teachers. I tell them, go ahead, fill it out. But the teachers, I know, because I sometimes see which tests are theirs, or they'll be like, oh, I didn't know that. And it's amazing how much about agriculture they don't know that is really just simple facts. And so it's a very educational experience for everyone. Our volunteers come. We have over 100 volunteers a day. Almost everybody at this program is a volunteer. We also, of course, have the people from Extension that it's their livelihood, and so they come out and they do the speaking. But most of the people there are volunteers, and they tell me every year how much they learned. We want to come back. We want to come back, Sandra, because we have learned so much. And so it is amazing. No matter what age you are, you're going to learn at this program.
So the next Kid Cows and More program is coming up March 3rd through the 7th. Are there still openings for maybe schools to contact you to try to get a slot in so they can bring in their kids?
Yes. In fact, that's what we're doing right now. We are putting people in spots. We have room every day except for Tuesday, which is the 4th. Don't ask me why this year. Usually Friday fills up first. But we do still have spots open. They can contact us at my office, which is 915-872-8791, or of course they can email me, which is s-pierce@tamu.edu.
And I'll have that information on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. Again, the Kids and Cows and More program is happening March 3rd through the 7th at the El Paso County Coliseum. And if maybe interested parents, maybe who homeschool their kids, want to call you up and schedule?
Homeschoolers will actually be coming on Monday. They have their slot. We do 2nd through 5th grade. Mondays is our day that our homeschoolers come out because it is a variable of ages, and they're all welcome, of course. All the parents come out. They bring the babies. They bring the high school kids. Everybody learns. It is really fantastic. But Monday is the day that if homeschoolers want to come, it's great because they all get together there as a group.
Well, Sandra Pierce, director of the Kids and Cows and More program, thank you so much for coming on Good to Grow.
Thank you for having me.
And we want to thank you for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.